What is your musical background?
My musical background is I've been composing music since I was 12. I've been mixing music and songs through high school and college, and I came to Los Angeles as a songwriter trying to get a record deal and write songs for bands. I got very interested in music from the film Body Double. It totally into writing dramatic music. I was in my early 20s. I started studying music theory, and I took some college classes in film scoring, and I started really pursuing it seriously in my early 20s. About 10 years later, I had a job doing it, but in the interim, I had mixed music for Days of Our Lives, working with the composers, Ken Corday at the time, and eventually there became an opening on the show, and I was able to write for the show.
All right, so what is obviously you don't write the show on a daily basis, but how much in advance do you write the music for the show?
Well, I do compose on a daily basis, and sometimes when I am looking at the editing of the show on a particular day, I will write some for that particular show. Most of the time we're writing maybe 2 or 3 weeks ahead of what they're actually going to be using on the show. We get outlines and we see things, you know, maybe a month or two in advance, and we see a particular trend or new story show up from the writers. You know, we'll decide, okay, let's do something, you know, original and unique for this particular story, and we'll, you know, kind of theorize about it and decide how we want to approach it, and then we'll create maybe 20 cues or so in different styles of drama, you know, faster, slower, a little bit more intense, a little bit more open, some thematic material, and we'll signature it with a certain kind of style. Like, we've got a story that's coming out with this, with Hope, another character on the show, and we decided to do a lot of Louisiana kind of Delta blues to sort of signature that whole nighttime thing that they're going to be doing together.
So now, are there any points when you're writing that you've been asked to do something specifically for a specific episode?
Not necessarily. I kind of am the person who looks at things and decides what's going to be done. So if I see it in an outline, or I see it in a script, or I look at it in a show, I kind of decide on my own that this is something I want to do a special piece of music for. Usually we know before we get the final show when we need special music. It does come up from time to time, and there are certain shows. There was a show that aired last year that had to do with Grace dying, Sammy's baby, and a lot of original music was written to picture for that specific show. It warranted it. It cried out for something very special because it was a very emotional show. And of course, those cues are used later on, you know, in other shows and other situations. So it's sort of a good point. It solves two problems. It gets more music into the library, plus it gets something very original for a specific show.
Okay. So now, are you using an orchestra, or are you using more electronics these days?
We use everything we can get our hands on. We use lots of electronic synthesizers. We use live players. We use soloists. We're constantly using soloists, especially for acoustic guitar and woodwinds. Back in January, we did an orchestra session. We had 25 string players. We did about 14 cues in 2.5 hours. And those have been airing since the beginning of March. And they're used mostly on the Stefano and the EJ story.
So now, The Days of Our Lives has actually just come out with a two-disc set of music for the show. Now, you've been writing for many, many years on the show. How did you take that amount of work and pare it down to a two-disc set?
It was really, really hard. We didn't really know what direction to aim the disc at because there's so much material. There's so many different stories on the show. And initially, we were going to do basically disc one, more the prettier and the melodic ideas. We realized that there was so much of the more intense, sort of trance, electronic, edgy cues that, you know, didn't really fit in with just the pretty, thematic, choir cues. And we realized that we should have at least a second disc that just focused more on, like, contemporary, edgy sounds and to balance off the first disc. So a little bit for everybody. You know, a lot of people, a lot of the feedback we've been getting, they appreciate the thematic material. They like the pretty melodic things. And other folks, they really like the trance-oriented sort of pounding material. You know, it's like a preference. So we're kind of catering
And how involved in the process of the of making the CD were you, or are you just handing in stems and there and they take it from there?
We had a Rick Cole that could do the sequencing on the record is really responsible for the way this disc is put together. I mean, Ken and I are extremely busy with the show, and I'm working 7 days a week just to keep the cues together and to do all the work that's involved with the show. So I kind of handed this off to Rick. Our entire library of cues, which is almost like 4,500 cues, and he just pulled together his favorite pieces of music and he sequenced them, and he would send me discs and I would listen to them and we'd talk about them, and he would change some things around and Ken would listen to the compilation and would give him notes. We let him sort of pull the cues and sequence, and then he'd get the feedback from us, and finally we settled on what we have now.
Okay, so what are some of the challenges of writing on a soap opera?
I think the biggest part is how to stay invisible in a show where there's a lot of dialogue. I think that's probably unique to daytime. There's lots of talking, and you've got to be able to pull the background emotion out of there without getting in the way of all the talking. It's a little bit of a challenge, and we do things. I don't know, it's like trying to create a wallpaper of emotion that is present but doesn't step on things. And so it's a challenge in that way. And also it's a little bit of a challenge in writing a library that's going to be cut up and edited. You're not writing one cue for a scene, but you're writing a cue that could be used, in 50 scenes. And you have to write it where you've got certain pauses and openings and things where they can cut it into place so that it sounds like every show the music has been composed to picture. It's sort of a craft. We've finessed the writing and the arranging in such a way that that's possible quite often to do that.
So you're writing cues then as in a more, would you say, more generic style?
I think they're more linear. We try to write a cue that maybe goes off on one particular emotion and maybe has its spacing and its timing where it doesn't quite leave the mood. Maybe it builds on it, but it doesn't go from like happy to sad to crazy within the course of 30 seconds. It's okay, here's a happy cue, here's a poignant cue, here's a very moving, sneaky cue. And the cue, maybe it's a minute and a half and it builds to the end. And if they have a scene where they only need 49 seconds, they'll cut the end of the cue. They'll cut out the middle of the cue. So they'll start it, and they'll cut to the end, and they do it seamlessly, and it sounds like that thing was written, exactly for 50 seconds, and it times out, and it does its job. So there's a little bit of a craft and the challenge of designing the cues in the first place that allow us to be able to use them and manipulate them like this later on.
All right. Now, do you get a chance to write specific themes for individual characters?
We do, although we mostly write themes for stories as opposed to writing for characters. We do have some character music. We do have some relationship music that we keep specific for couples. But I think we generally write for story. We did a Princess Gina story about 8 years ago, and we did a lot of choir cues. And yeah, they were for Hope as Princess Gina, but we were writing for the story. We've got another story coming up with some gamblers, and Christian Alfonso is involved with that. And we're writing, it's character music. It's attached to her persona as a specific character. But, once we go past that story, we won't be using it in that way.
Mm-hmm. So now, because your cues are, as you put it, linear, what is the first mm-hmm. thing? What is the first thing that you do when you begin to write a specific cue?
I just start playing.
Okay.
I think about a mood, a tempo, timing, instrumentation. I've got a few keyboards that I start with, piano, electric piano, guitar, and I just start playing. And Ken does the same thing.
Okay. So now, do you work with the music editors at all, or are you just giving them your music and saying, do what you will?
Well, we give them the music, and we're there to hear the result. And there's back and forth. Sometimes I don't like the way that they're cutting a particular cue, maybe changes the composing to something we're not quite happy with, and we'll have them unhook it and try it in a different spot, or maybe not edit it, maybe just fade the cue out over the next scene. We're engaged. I look at all the finished shows and make notes as well.
Okay. So where do you get time to sleep?
That's the trick. It's a lot of work. We produce 7 shows a week, 37 weeks a year. So I guess I get to sleep during the other 15 weeks.
Well, as a composer, your job is, of course, to write music. But are you given the chance? Are you given the chance to use a silence as a composing tool in your?
We have to play silence. Silence is very important. When we overscore the show, it's almost like not using music. If you use too much, it overloads the scene. So part of the craft of even designing the way we score a particular act is where not to score, where to leave the holes, where to leave the spaces in the scene so that when the music does start, it has more impact.
Okay.
That's almost the greatest challenge in spotting an act, because once you can decide where not to leave it, everything else falls into place.
Is writing soap opera music more challenging or less challenging than, let's say, writing maybe, say, a movie score or even a television series, would you say?
It's got its own uniqueness. Like I said, there's certain things we have to, you know, most of the cues are shorter, than like a film. I think you can stretch out a little bit. I think you can, for a film, you can maybe write one theme and carry through in variation throughout. On our show, we might write thematic material and it's attached to a storyline, but it's usually nothing plays much longer than 2 minutes. Usually everything is around, you know, minute 30, you know, 49 seconds. So we have to be able to make statements that establish our thematic material quickly. And we do variations within the body of the show.
Well, now, where is the most unusual place you've heard your music, or have you just been strolling through a store or something like that, and you go, wait a minute, that's something I wrote.
You know, usually if we pop into a shop someplace and Days of Our Lives is playing, you know, and it always is like, oh, look, listen, there it is. But you usually don't hear the music outside of the show. I mean, we're just now releasing the records. It'd be interesting to hear it played on the radio. That'll be something completely new for us.
Yeah, it must be unusual for you do you get a chance to watch much of the shows, or are you so busy writing that you don't really want to watch the shows?
Oh no, I see every show when it's finished.
Okay.
Editing, and I watch the show from top to bottom once it's done mixing, and I watch the air shows as well just to make sure that what I thought was working when I was watching the editing shows is the same on the air. In fact, I was watching the air show today.
So now, do you have to be a fan of the show to write music for it?
I don't know. I am, because I love the characters that I'm working with and the story that I'm writing for. So I'm probably one of the biggest fans right now, and I'm the composer on the show, which is great.
Were you a fan of Days before, or did you just come to this as another?
Well, as you get involved with it, you start to get into it. I mean, I wasn't as much of watching soaps, I don't think, before the 80s, before I was involved with, you know, working on soap opera, but, you know, obviously you're exposed to it and you become with it.
All right. Well, how would a score that you write today for Days differ from one you wrote when you first started?
I think I've matured in the areas of arranging. I think I'm much more experienced with working with live musicians. I think a lot of things were more synth-based in the past. We've got much better synthesizers and mixing equipment now than we had 15 years ago. I think that affects the sound a little bit, because you're working essentially with sound, so the strings sound a certain way now with the reverbs, and it changes sort of the way you arrange with them, because you have different character of an instrument that you're working with. I think that might affect our arranging styles. And obviously we're working with a lot more live musicians too, so you kind of structure things for them to perform.
Okay. Well, you mentioned the electronics, but has there been other advancements in your process that have either streamlined or made your job easier from when you first started to now?
Before I started, my first cues were written on a Tascam 4-track cassette tape recorder.
Oh,
with
wow.
6 channels of mixing and a T50. And now I've got a Pro Tool system where I've got about 40 inputs, and I can literally recall a cue that I did 4 years ago and do some stems on it, because all the mixing is tracked in Pro Tools. So I think once I upgraded to Pro Tools probably 6 years ago. I was a latecomer to it. I upgraded to it in its current HD format. That changed significantly the way I think my process. I mean, I'm able to go back and work on a cue today and go back to it next week and add some more things or rearrange some stuff or maybe embellish with live musicians. And I wouldn't have thought to do that, you know, 10 years ago because it was just put it up, mix, go. Mm-hmm. Now I can sort of take a little bit of time to, you know, listen to it and think, oh, you know, what if I add a guitar to this? Or what if I put a pedal steel player on this? Or what if I bring in a flute or an alto flute and write a part in here instead of the guitar? And I'm able to sort of go back and I'm able to work and shape the material in ways that I didn't used to.
Okay. Well, now, as a obviously as a composer of the Days of Our Lives music, do you get a chance to kind of get almost caught up are there fans of the music of Days of Our Lives? Do they contact you?
Rick Kolbeck, the guy who sequenced the album, is a fan of the show and a fan of the music for like the past 6 years, and constantly was emailing me for cues. He sent me a couple years ago some CD compilations he made of some film music that were amazing. It gave me the idea to maybe hand him our library to see what he could do with our music. And that's where the album came from. And now we're actually training him. He's an intern doing some of the music directing.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that the Days of Our Lives CD is out, are we going to see perhaps a volume 2?
I hope so. That's up to the label. And it would be great to be able to do a record maybe on a consistent basis where you hear the cues that have happened within the body of a year, and then you can get them. We've done enough orchestral stuff and enough thematic material for a story that's going to be airing next month to fill another CD real easy.
All right. Well, what does the future hold for you, I mean, other than Days of Our Lives?
Well, I guess we'll see. I mean, I'm here doing what I do every single day, and I love it. I'm happy being exactly where I am.
Cool.
But you never know. I mean, we'll see what happens. Whatever opportunities open up, we'll take them when they come.